Hi everyone, and welcome to another podcast with me, Steve Cranston from Lilac Films. You can find me on Twitter at Lilac Films, and I'm here with Stuart Walton from Conspicuous CBM. You can find him on Twitter at Conspicuous CBM. And this is what we're calling the Conspicuous Podcast, here to help businesses market, network, and just navigate all things with new technologies. So Stuart, do you want to do your introduction?
Yes, hi everybody, I'm Stuart Walton, Staffordshire's leading referral marketing expert. I help businesses, get more sales, more leads, more word of mouth goodness from their networking and referral marketing activities. So Steve says you can find me on Twitter and Speakers CBN. And, this podcast is all the things that we come across, how people manage to screw up their businesses by not marketing themselves properly and making as obvious faux pas both online and offline in the real world. So we're here to help you avoid those big mistakes.
So if you have been enjoying these episodes, please do subscribe to us on iTunes, and a review and a recommendation would be fantastic.
Indeed. You know, we've already had a couple of very nice reviews on iTunes. Obviously, a five-star review, please, people, because Steve and I both have very fragile creative egos. And unless we get a five-star review with lots of positive words, you know, this is going to make us cry.
Or you can talk.
Indeed.
But yes, don't obsess us.
Yes, indeed.
So, this week's episode is on crowdfunding. Is crowdfunding something that we can take seriously now, or is it still a whole load of mythical products on there? So let me first just start by explaining what crowdfunding is. There's a number of websites that most of us have probably seen in the news at some point: Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Patreon, and these are all set up as platforms for creative people, inventors, to basically crowdfund their products. And the way it's done through a pitch. You record a video on Kickstarter, and you then put a description about what the product is going to do, and you offer rewards for people contributing an amount, usually starting at £1, and going up to silly amounts of money, like £50,000, and you get to go on the red carpet in the next James Bond film because you help fund 10% of the trailer or something like that. So it's gone bigger now than just being inventions. It's gone to being bands getting themselves funded to do their album. It's gone to people that want to travel around the world and take pictures, and their fans have funded them for that. But the most interesting thing, and the thing I'm going to focus on today, are the inventions, because that seems to be the one that's really capturing people's imagination. The rewards are generally a lot more successful with the filmmakers and the musicians. Most people don't really want a signed photograph of the musician that hasn't yet been discovered yet to pay $5 for the privilege of for that.
No, indeed.
However, something like the Laser Razor, that it turned out never existed, did incredibly well with pre-sales because it was a very innovative device. And we've seen things like hoverboards come on there. But the big question mark over them is, do any of these products really exist? And a good portion of them, the answer is no, not no. In the way that it sounds like they're going to exist.
I mean, from a purely business point of view, I mean, I've never subscribed to any of these Kickstarter campaigns. I've seen them around. There's never been anything I really think. Probably because I'm just too stingy by nature to put my money into these things. And I'd like to see a finished product because I'm, not that obsessed by any aspects of pop culture for sort of the sort of bands and the sort of creative works of art. But at the end of the day, it's a bit like raising money on the stock market. And I'll be very careful with it because it's not, in a sense, in a sense, it's a transfer of risk. It's not really a transfer of ownership. So you're not subscribing to shares in the business in the sort of like a stock market sense. These companies are really saying, I want to develop a product. It's a risky for me to do so. Traditional forms of finding what I call working capital, I'll leave it as that, are going to be difficult for me to do. And some companies, there's some out there who seem to be doing it on a serial basis. They've had several of these successful Kickstarter campaigns, and this is the way they fund the working capital. And the rewards of the people who pre-subscribed to this is, they'll get the product, one hopes, eventually. And the success rate from Kickstarter, as interesting as there was a recent Macworld podcast I was listening to, the success rate is not, it's higher than you think, but it's clearly not 100%, because
we talk? Can we talk about 1 in 3, 1 in 4 succeed?
I would say it was closer to 1 in 3, than the things, because sometimes only things are in a sense, a Me Too product. You know, I think where they do eventually succeed, but the problem is a lot of these guys get involved in this and don't actually understand how difficult actually making something is.
And also, let's just clarify what we mean by succeed. So the other part of these platforms is that there's a financial target that they set. And with the primary ones, so that's Kickstarter and I think Indiegogo, you have an amount that you have to achieve, otherwise the funds don't get released. So if you say it's going to take £500,000 to get this product off the ground, you work really, really hard to get all the funding in, but you get £499,000. The funds all get given back to the people and the product doesn't get activated and no one has to spend any money on anything and it doesn't happen, basically.
Yeah.
There's some that have changed that now, which I'm a little bit more wary of, where regardless of what amounts you do, you can do it where you can take the money anyway. But the consequence of that is that the platforms, and I think Indiegogo is one of these where you can do this, they charge you a higher percentage if you don't meet your target. You get a lower rate percentage if you do meet your target.
And essentially what they're saying is, you know, if you can raise £500,000 and let's say that's equivalent of, you know, you know, 5,000 people subscribed at £50 a go. On average, you know, sometimes they may have a go for the basic product or go something a little bit more with something with gold things, gold plated. Let's assume it's all standard. You are trying to be the first person there, so it's appealing to people who want to be the first to acquire the latest toy or gadget. There's something about they can be part of the process. Some of these campaigns or some of these Kickstarter projects are very good at keeping people informed of progress, so you can feel part of the sort of what's going on and you know, how things are progressing, and which is, you know, appeals to some people. And at the end of the day, if some of these people have had a track record doing several things, you know, you can think, you know, they've I've given them money, they've given me a product, I've been happy with the product. It's a way of you know, buying something or getting on the latest thing. In a sense, there's a bit of a, you know, you are taking a risk. It's not like going into a shop, you know, and saying, you know, I see that on the shelf, I want to buy it, I want to take it there. There's no ownership. I mean, there's a classic case, is it the Google, the VR headset manufacturer was Oculus Rift. It was taken over by Facebook for you know, for lots of millions of dollars. You know, that started as a Kickstarter project.
That's right.
And you know, there was a bit of consternation on Twitter land and social media that, you know, the Kickstarter campaign backers did not share in the eventual success that the founders did when they sold to Facebook. Well, yeah. Tough.
That's the thing, you're not an investor in this. No. You are literally, the way I look at it is that you are purchasing someone's vision or idea in return that they're saying at some point in the distant future you will get that product there, that's equipment. However, there's nothing legally binding. They could come back to you and say it failed, it doesn't work, or it doesn't work the way you expected, but here you go, this is what you get. And
you're taking a risk, you're going on an adventure, you are taking, you know maybe in a roller coaster emotionally. But if you are somebody who wants to sense back innovation, back new ideas, you're keen to do something, you know, a little different with your money, why not? You know, it's not for everybody. As I said, you know, I'm a stingy git, you know, so I want to see the finished thing because I don't believe that's the thing. But maybe it's helping get some ideas that would never see the light of day, you know, get into sort of production, get into sales and stuff happens. You know, it's another form of capitalism at work.
So this is the question essentially for this, is that if you're someone that's got a vision or an idea for a product, is crowdfunding just the latest buzz of how to get some money in, or is it actually a serious platform and a serious way to actually fund and do this? Because like you said, most people doing this don't have any real experience in having manufacturing a product and going through all the details in that. So track record is something.
And often, you know, for example, you hear the horror stories on a MacWorld podcast, you know, they want to go and buy, you know, effectively most things have to be sourced in China as a sort of general broad statement. True or not, you know. And then, you know, I mean, has, you know, in my dim and distant past of my career, I brought from China, I've been involved with, you know, things that have been successfully purchased in China, things that have been unsuccessfully purchased, and, you know, it's it was a blooming nightmare. One project, we brought steelwork from China, early days, wasn't probably sorted out. I can tell you the financial consequences and the headache trying to sort it out for this materials handling project was like eye-watering. And,
things always cost much more than you expect.
And it just took longer and things like that. And, those were large capital, big mechanical engineering projects. We're not talking the sort of things that we'll find in Kickstarter, but the same principle applies. It's hard work. You're in a foreign country. It's often these things are done in America. They're going to China. Yes, there's a wormhole path. People know what they're doing, but some of these new businesses, new ventures, new Kickstarter projects, they are new to just business themselves. They've got an idea, they've got a vision, but the actual nitty gritty of making something, delivering it in a nice box onto a sort of retailer shelf, they don't know what to do. And so, you're helping to sort of, you're giving them some money to help them through that process, I suppose, is what fundamentally you're doing. And I guess, for the more creative things, films, being some very successful films, backed on Kickstarter, you're helping some of these creative geniuses bypass the studio system and put something out there which might be good, bad, and different. Now, maybe these evil producers in Hollywood, can be, maybe stifling innovation, creativity. Maybe they're stopping some of these turkeys from ever flying. And maybe Kickstarter or Indiegogo or something else is helping sort of bypass the sort of necessary controls because things like that. But the idea is, if you want a bit of fun, you want a bit of excitement, why not do it? And I don't think it's a fad because I think it's part of that sort of atomization of the sort of business landscape. Lots of things, you can set up a business now very easily. A lot of it can be done online. You can set yourself up, and in business much more easily than you could do, 20, 30 years ago when I first, started, drawing a salary. So if this is part of that process of making things easier, easier access to capital. You hear even more sort of, structured financings like Funding Circle, where people will pitch in, money. Yeah, it's a slightly more organized way. But yes, it's the same basic principles. A bunch of punters are putting money into a business and, hoping for an investment return.
Now, you talk about the positives there for it, but I think there's also the negative side to it, that people look at it as, well, I don't have to risk anything with this. I can risk other people's money for that. And now, talking from personal experience, I've been involved in two campaigns, one successful and one unsuccessful. The unsuccessful one was more down to, it was a festival that was looking to be set up in Wales. And my involvement was producing the video content for that. But they were looking at it from the perspective of, we want to risk the minimum amount for this. We Indeed. Don't want to risk anything, any of our money. We want everyone else to make the risk for that. And because they had that mentality, that seeps through into everything else that's going on in that organization. Whereas the other one was a much smaller campaign for a local band that just wanted to collect £3,000 to get their album created. And they massively surpassed their goal because they worked it really hard. They gave good rewards to their supporters, mm-hmm. but they also engaged really heavily with them as well for that. So they created a platform, they created an idea and a vision for that, and they're one of the ones we talked about where it was about releasing their creativity. So a small fan base, a small target, but it was achievable. It was working.
But if you look at it in general, go back to business. Clearly, the latter successful one. Clearly, they were engaged, they were open, they were open for business. They wanted to make this success, involve the people that were backing them. They were good at communicating. They were engaged individuals. The ones, trying to do this this festival in Wales who took no risk. Clearly, they went in with the wrong attitude. So, they would have been punished whether they tried to go into the bank, they would try to find a shareholder. It's the same basic problems. They're not risk takers. They're not clearly, they're not entrepreneurs. They're just, they're looking to draw a salary on somebody else's.
They were hippies, basically. Oh, hippies that just wanted they wanted a bit of a free party on everyone else's
expense. That's outrageous, But I think that's probably true. In a sense, if you've, clearly, it's the market will reward people who know what they're doing. is my view of all these Kickstarters I hear about and crowdfunding projects. If you know what you're doing, you'll succeed and get your money. If you think this is some easy source of money, probably not, because I think these days there's probably enough history and track record for people to know whether you're good for your word if you're doing this several times, and people are wise because they've got. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when this first probably started, people didn't realise what the implications of what they're doing. Now, if you're funding lots of these Kickstarter campaigns and there are lots of repeat investors, I'll use that term in a looser sense of the word, they probably know what they're doing. Yes, looks like a good campaign, that looks like pants, you know, and they're probably as good at spotting the winners from the losers or anything else. So, as again, the market knows what it's doing.
I'd essentially call it, what really interests me about it is that this is viral marketing and it's almost, when you're seeing someone going for a large amount of money, anything that's say £500,000 and above, they've got to create a massively viral campaign. And the ones that seem to be the ones that really, really excel and succeed in a huge way are the ones where they're just really, really creative. They're proposing something really, really different. I saw one recently about...
But do you think they've also got a clear goal, clear understanding how to reach that goal?
That's exactly it.
And motivated and tenacious and all those sort of good characteristics of
business. They showcase their credibility throughout it as well. That when you watch the video for all that, they'll have a working prototype and they'll have a clear end goal. They'll have something that is unique to the marketplace. And they've worked out actually... they put their investment in for that to get to this stage. They're now looking at mass markets, and you're essentially the dragon's den as well, deciding whether that's going to
work. And I suppose in some ways, they're not trying, it's not a, none of it should be seen as a quick rich scheme, but, you know, these people are probably credible. They're not quick get rich, you know, quick rich merchants. You know, they genuinely believe in what they're trying to do. So that, as you say, the credibility, the belief themselves in their own product or their own, whatever that sort of project is, will shine through, one would hope, if they are properly motivated. And that should encourage people to back them in whatever sense of the word that is. And, so yes, again, it's a very, I suppose, very democratic way of doing this. It's the democratization of capital in the looser sense of the word, and it's a perfect example of of microeconomics at thing. It makes me very, it brings you back 30 years when I was at university, Steve.
Now this is where it has got a bit crazy though, because now everything seems to be suitable for Kickstarter campaigns. There was one recently where the wife of a murderer that later went on to be convicted created a campaign to pay his bonds of $50,000, and ran that as a, I think that was Indiegogo that they used for that one. And surprisingly, it wasn't particularly well received by that.
But I mean, I suppose,
Greece, for example, they tried to do the Greece bailout, and someone had a smart idea of setting up a Kickstarter campaign. I think they raised $1.5 million when their target was something like $10.6 million.
Probably, several zeros out of the thing. But I suppose it's testing the market in the looser sense of the word. It's testing the boundaries. Why not? Maybe some of these things that we spend money or we the masses in a democracy want done. Maybe this is a better way of actually funneling money instead of in an inefficient way of just general handing out taxes to a government and then getting them to hand it back out. You're cutting out the middlemen, and if you can explain why you actually need the money, you probably get the money. I mean, there is my sort of libertarian anarchist views of the world,
But it frees people to make the decision of saying, this is a good thing, we want this here, and you're not at the mercy of a large corporation or the governments.
Yeah, that's a utopian ideal that I'm espousing. But if this helps some way, breaking, the bonds of, say, the banks in some way or other financial institutions which are rigid and not very flexible or innovative, why not? It's a good thing. And I think for small businesses, it's something they can go for, because it does require a bit of effort. Oh, I'm very sorry. You're going to do some hard work. You're going to do some preparation. You're going to have a bit of a plan. You're going to have to persevere, and you have to be disciplined. Well, guess what? That's just what life's about.
So I'd say if this is something where you're thinking, okay, I've got an idea, I want to crowdfund it to raise money for this, the thing to think of firstly is finding the right platform.
Yeah.
Probably the most important thing is knowing what your concept is inside out. You need to be able to put a fantastic pitch together for this, because if the pitch is weak, it will get no interest whatsoever. You can promote on Twitter, but you're asking people to separate with their cash, and that's very different from asking them to subscribe or to sign up to something. Yeah. You're asking for them to actually commit to this
project. Have clear goals, you know?
You've got to create a belief system. You've got to create, you've got to create basically sort of like a cult-like following around this product. Yeah. You've got to make people think that it's not just a case that they're going to get a fantastic product. They're going to change the world with this, and by donating their money, donating their £25,
they're going to be part of this world-changing experience.
This world-changing experience of having a new way to shave your face with a new razor.
Well, I'm always looking for that. Yes, I'm always looking for that.
But this is the thing: is that if you can't get people excited about it, then you're going to find that the campaigns just don't work.
Yeah.
The second thing is thinking, well, realistically, how much do I need for this? Because I think a lot of people do underestimate it. That they'll sort of, they'll think
time, effort. I mean, you know, there's a guy. It was the presenter of the Macworld magazine, Glenn Fleischman, who's done several of these, and he'd done one with he had this online magazine when Apple were promoting on iOS these sort of magazines, which they've stopped really doing now. They've sort of changed it to Apple sort of the news app. And he'd done a book, I think, from memory, where he was, you know, he collected some of the articles and it was going to be nice and stuff like that. And it was the fact that he ended up having to post it all, stuffing all the, you know, the things, and that's the time it took. And he says it was a lot harder work. It's just stuffing, getting the book, getting it produced, that was one thing. And then just stuffing it, writing in the envelopes, that was like, you know, going to the post office in America, and that put him off for doing these things forever and again. He'd rather report about it than actually do one himself. So he said, but I never thought about it.
And that's a big myth to dispel with this, is that it's not easy money, that this is incredibly hard to work it well to be successful. And you may look at those campaigns and think, it just looks effortless. They just they just got that money. There is a huge amount of effort that goes through. It's far easier to try and win a bank over than it is to try and win over the masses.
Because you've got one person, you know, it's a clear lines of communication, you know, and the sort of, you know, what you need to say to a bank manager and how they make a decision is really well understood. You know, you may not like how that process works, but that's the process. And if you make an effort to fit your pitch into that process, you'll, you know, as the advert says, you know, 80% of all people get the money they ask for, you know.
And essentially, if you have the next Oculus Rift, you walk out of that holding all the shares for that, and when Facebook come along knocking on the door,
we're complete control, which is probably better than a venture capitalist who will, you know, it's not, you know, not quite my area of expertise, but what you can tell is, you know, as soon as you sign up a venture capitalist, they've got you and all your money, and you know,
risk isn't free, and they're going to play the risk out, the risk game more, inflating the sort of like the cost they're going to get back versus the risk. I mean, this was made popular by Dragon's Den, sort of seeing how much they want to take of a company. You go and ask for 5%. I said, no, I'm going to take half your company.
Yeah.
And you're only getting half the money as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and my money comes out first, you know. So, you know, there's a classic example of many examples of companies who, you know, have taken VC money, you know, and what are the VCs put in, say, £10 million? That's, you know, and if £10.5 million, you know, is paid for the company, that first 10 million goes back to the VC. He's not losing his money. So, you know, and you can cry.
And the other thing to remember as well is that, I mean, the danger of underestimating this is that once you are tied into a contract with the people that have invested in that, so you've got a number of people that you're accountable to. There have been lawsuits against products that have failed to deliver on there. And it's a case that if you go into it thinking, well, I'm going to lower the amount to try and make it more achievable.
Clearly, there's an error of, you know, best endeavours. You know, you've got to show that you've done your best. You know, now clearly people... I guess now people understand that they are taking a risk. There's no guarantees. You know, the product is not on the shelf. There is an element of development risk that you've got to take on part of your sense backing of with hard cash. But if people have made a good effort, stuff's not worked, you really can't get upset, because at the end of the day, let's say, you know, if you've all put in 50 pounds in my example to back it, you know, first of all, you've got to make sure you can afford a £50. But if you can, then you've just got to think, you know, it is like all in, like any other forms of speculation, you know, it may not come off.
Well, I think that's always a risk that you look at for that. But I'd say more as the creator for that. If you think it's going to be £50,000 to £60,000 to get to your end goal to create this product and deliver it, don't put in at £50,000, put in at £60,000 to make sure that, and run the risk of not succeeding in the campaign.
Put a proper budget in. I mean, in like all things in life, you know, this is, you know, lesson number one, you know, put in a realistic budget. If it's going to cost this, don't tell people what you think they want to hear.
And then you've got to be thinking about your social campaign before and behind that. So it's got to be very meticulously planned. You've got to be having, I mean, again, the successful ones, you see updates almost on a daily basis of and praising and thanking their supporters for...
They're being open, honest and transparent, which is a good thing. And they are keeping the people informed. You know, silence is probably not good news.
Yes, exactly. Yes, silence is never a good thing in this as well. Another useful tip for it that's, that I've seen work especially effectively is getting the popular bloggers behind it as well. So if there's a particular blogger in the sector that you're creating, find out who those major bloggers are that have got the followings because they're connected to the people and see what you can do to win them over. Because then you're winning over one person, you win them over, you've won their audience over.
Indeed. I mean, that's clearly, getting influencer marketing, as it's called, you know, that's clearly a good thing to do. You know, be it bloggers or writers or people in a, you know, I mean, in a particular area that have influence in a local network, you know, use them to get it done. Because otherwise, you're asking them to bring their tribe, their followers into helping you out, and you know, why not?
Right, exactly it. But I think I'd agree with you. I think this is it's changed the way that charity is being done now as well. Just giving has completely taken market by storm.
Absolutely, that's another example of all this. Yeah,
it's changed the way that people are. I mean, we talked about bloggers just then as well, but Patreon is a new one that's come out, which is essentially set up to support bloggers. Where for those that like a particular writer, a particular YouTuber, they can choose to donate a small monthly amount to that YouTuber to support them, and collectively you basically raise funds to help. Allow them to turn it into a full-time job to make their content.
Yeah. And I see podcasts,
is our Patreon on the way as well?
Who knows? Maybe let's do a few more episodes and show that we are serious and credible. But you know, there's a podcast network called Incomparable, which is very much involved in pop culture and a lot of tech bloggers and tech writers involved in it. And it's been going for many years, and now they've done advertising, as part of the thing, but now they've sort of done the thing, you know, you can subscribe and support, and you actually pick which podcasts in this, so you're only giving your money once, and afterwards you can then divvy up the money as you see fit. You know, why not? That's a good way of doing it. And a couple of, you know, podcast networks I see are doing this as part of the thing, but clearly, you know, they're well organized, they've got a good audience, you know, the product is well done, and they have a very strong call to action. So, I suppose it's early days. We'll see how that works for them.
I mean, I think the most exciting thing about it is that it's freeing up people to actually take control. It's something that was completely unreachable, maybe even 10, 15 years ago as well, whereas now you can have people that can have a full-time job sharing their thoughts on YouTube. You've got people that can just talk about philosophy because they've got such a following behind them that they can have that as a career talking that they can...
Yeah, and I think, you know, when, you know... You know, podcasting in the sense of democratization of radio, you could see it that way, or you know, creating an opportunity for people to share their thoughts around the world in an open platform using open standards. The first creators, you know, Dave Weiner, Adam Curry, this was all what it was all about, easy to use, and you know, Apple, you know, help popularize this form of content generation by keeping it very easy and open and really a very light touch, no restrictions, just apart from a few things. You know, well, you know, we're in a sense, this is another following of that. You know, it's making things easier and more accessible. You know, everybody can have a go. All you need to do is, you know, have something you want to say, you know, prepare to put in a bit of hard work, have a plan, persevere and be disciplined about it, you know, which is what business is about.
And it's a fantastic alternative to the traditional media. If you're tied to newspapers, television, radio.
Yeah.
It's putting the power back into the control of business owners, of people that want to actually independently share their thoughts about it. And it's going to be something I think in the next 10 years we're going to see a real shaping of this fight. And I think it will win. I think this will see people actually taking on the media, and I think there'll be more people. Well, there's already more people watching YouTube than there are watching mainstream TV channels.
I mean, my son just watches YouTube all day long. He never watches traditional, you know, terrestrial TV at all, you know, and once there was a film he wanted to see, you know, I couldn't find it on iTunes or Netflix. He says, "Oh, I'm sure it's on YouTube." I said, "No, I'm sure it's not." yep, somebody had uploaded it, you know, and, you know, clearly probably taken down because I thought, well, it's a bit copyright sensitive, but, you know, he was able to watch what he wanted to watch. And and my daughter's the same. You know, that's what they're doing. They're not watching, you know, the BBC or ITV. You know, they're watching, even I don't really watch TV instead of sitting down watching on a box. I'm watching it on my, you know, generic fruit-based device, you know. So, you know, and the last person we need to persuade is Mrs. Walton, you know, in the household. But once we've done that, we can get rid of the TV.
Which I think will be a really positive thing, actually. Yeah. Because, I mean, I love what people are doing with like a crowdfunding campaign, like a film.
Yeah.
And then they'll do the premiere where they'll live stream on YouTube rather than having an actual event to go to. Yeah. And I think it's a real great way to actually connect back with real fans that's there and to get it out of this.
And I think all this is also helping to help the game of actual, you know, or I should say proper TV as well. You know, it's making, you know, them raise their game more, you know, and...
It challenges proper TV. Is that, do we need another episode of Big Brother?
Yeah. Well, apparently we do.
Well, apparently... We're going to call it there anyway on this one, so... We'd love to hear your opinions on crowdfunding. Have you been involved in a crowdfunding campaign before?
Yeah.
What's your opinions on crowdfunding? Have you got an idea that you're thinking of going through a crowdfunding campaign with? Please do tell us about that. You've got Stuart's blog. Do you want to share the details for your blog?
Yes, so it's conspicuous-cbm.com. That's where my blog. And so each episode we'll put something on. You'll put comments. And obviously, there's loads of ways to find us on Twitter, or you can email me or contact me. And obviously... Business of Staffordshire will know how to come in. Obviously, LinkedIn. We've talked about LinkedIn. You know, send me an message on LinkedIn. Tell me your thoughts. You know, maybe, you know, it's working for you. Or give us ideas and, you know, or examples or horror stories or success stories. You know, just want to know more of how, you know, crowdfunding. Because is there something for businesses around here that they could really get hold of? You know, we've never, you know, to my knowledge, there's never been, you know, you've done a couple, but... I don't, you know, you're the only person I've heard talk about it, Steve. So, you know, maybe there are other Staffordshire success stories, but I'd love to hear from them because clearly this is, you know, we are on, you know, I'm not calling it quite the wave of the future, but we're clearly riding some part of the future on part of this process.
And I think that's the thing. If you've got an existing campaign, let us talk about it as well. Yeah. Get in touch with us.
Come and talk about us. You know, we'll have you on.
Even get you on the on the podcast and do that as well. That it's one platform, but you're the kind of person that we want to talk to about this. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe through iTunes. Don't forget to leave us a review and feedback on this.
5 stars, please. 5 stars only.
And please do connect with us on Twitter, Lilac Films for myself, Conspicuous CBM for Stuart.
Please, yep.
And we'll see you on the next podcast next Monday. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.